Welcome to MSU Today on AM 870 WKAR. I'm Russ White. At 6 past the hour, following the latest news, all about the MSU Detroit Center for Urban Food Systems and the Fair Food Network. Holiday food trends from MSU Chef Kurt Tu, and I'll catch up with Michigan State University President Luana K. Simon.
Well, I think we'll continue to try to build strength and grow the value of an MSU degree in lots and lots of ways, and we just need to make sure that our students are well prepared. We have to be looking at our curriculum to be sure that we're there.
MSU Today begins at 4:06.
Visit us online at SpartanPodcast.com.
MSU Today on AM 870 WKAR.
I'm Russ White for MSU Today. Always happy to be in the presence of Michigan State University President Luana K. Simon for our occasional update. President Simon, happy holidays.
Well, happy holidays to us. We were just talking about what your boys and getting their internship experiences already lined up for the summer, so it's terrific.
That's right. A lot of help from the College of Engineering where they're both majoring, so it's a great experience.
So part of the semester, if you think about your sons, others, the planning for internships for the summer, study abroad, other kinds of education abroad, everybody's sort of focusing on that period while they're trying to finish up finals and the clock is chiming. So,
well, President Simon, in general, as you sort of look back over fall semester, what stands out or what do you want to re-highlight for Spartans?
One of the things we're really pleased about is the progress with the capital campaign and the fact that our faculty, staff, and retirees last year made commitments for more money than any other set in the Big Ten, which, given the relatively low position of faculty salaries compared to the Big Ten, is just an extraordinary testament to what those who are here every day believe is important for the future of Michigan State. So that was, I think, for me, one of the highlights, because when people know you the best, sometimes they don't want to support you. In this case, there was just extraordinary support from faculty, staff, and retirees towards our capital campaign. Second highlight for me was the first university-wide investiture of our endowed positions, and to see that array of people with our donors and know what they mean for the future of Michigan State was just one of those great moments. Among them were the people who were part of the Mott Chairs in Flint, and recognizing that we're still working every day on public health issues in Flint, along with the College of Human Medicine and the MSU Extension, is just actively engaged. We announced the hiring of the first director of the Institute for Quantitative Engineering and Health, Chris Kontag, an extraordinary individual, and coming from Stanford. And he's already recruiting people from around the world to be a part of our team. It's just really a spike, and FRIB continues to go well. The building in Grand Rapids is coming up, and new dean of the College of Human Medicine, a real opportunity to think through that building because the positions are already identified. There's like airplanes sort of hovering to land, and it's going to be a real boost for Michigan, for West Michigan as well. And then you just think about the fact that we continue to attract a record number of applications. We're ahead of last year and those kinds of things. So fundamentals are really good. The football team could have done a little bit better, but, we'll get back on track next year.
And President Simon, you're headed to China later this week, I think, to tout our excellence in food, which, as you talk about, is maybe one of the most important things we can lend our expertise to. What messages will you hope to convey there?
Well, it's a crazy schedule and a crazy time, but it's one of these very elite invitational conferences. And the price of admission, I think, with working with Nanjing was that I come. We've been working with them for a very long time, and I do one of the keynote pieces along with the ministries. It really is a very forward-looking conversation about the intersection of food, water, and population growth, and which is one of the world's biggest challenges moving forward. The projections of the number of people in the world, 9 billion compared to 7 billion now. The planet hasn't gotten any bigger. Growing food requires water resources, which are not growing exponentially to meet the demand of people. So this is really thinking about how do we do that in a way that it is safe to people, safe to the environment, that we know what's in our food because that's a greater demand. So it isn't less quality. It's really actually more quality at higher volume. How do we think about the urbanization of the world and what that means for food and food systems? And how do we just think about the way in which we collectively can partner with not simply people in China, because this conversation is not limited to China, but how we together think about these issues, because we can't make rules in one area that sort of mean that people have food in some other place of the world. Because I think all the futurists would say that the next wars won't be about oil, they'll be about food.
And President Salmon, we're continuing to lend our food expertise in Detroit as well, much closer to home. The Center for Urban Food Systems, is there an update there?
I wish there were. A piece of land has been selected. All the plans are in place, and we're just dotting the I's and crossing the T's on the transfer of the land. I don't want to own land. I want to be able to have it for a while, because I think that Detroit will develop in different ways. And we wanted to be in a place that we could be a spark for neighborhood development, not just an intruder into a space to do urban food systems. And I think we found that space. We've got community support. And Jeff Dwyer and Extension have just done an extraordinary job along with Doug Bueller and Ag Bio Research. So I really think that we're poised to do an announcement right after the first of the year.
What are your wishes for Spartans this sort of holiday season, and what can they and should they maybe look forward to in 2017 that you're working on?
Well, I think we'll continue to try to build strength and grow the value of an MSU degree in lots and lots of ways. I think we're going to have to look at a very technologically driven world. We've already made investments that have our gaming program at the top, cybersecurity, data analytics, all those things are sifting down to everyday life. And we just need to make sure that our students are well prepared, not simply to be the coder or the robot designer or the bot designer or the game designer, but there's a sort of a literacy about technology that will go with the financial literacy that we often talk about for students, that we have to be looking at our curriculum to be sure that we're there. Because that's going to be the world that they're going to live in for the next 40 years of their lives. And we have to prepare them not simply for the first job, for that being a lifelong learner for that 40 years. I think you'll still see, hopefully we need to continue to grow science facilities. You know from your son's experience that we're really tight. The number of students interested in science and technology is continuing to grow. And we have to provide them first-rate experiences, so facilities for science teaching so that we can continue to grow. Science research are going to be top on the list. I also think that we want to think about the world around us. And what's been really clear for me is, as I've said often, but it gets sort of reinforced, we were a type of university that was created in a time of war, time of great dissension, time of economic strife, a time to need to move to a new way of thinking about the underlying industrial principles that would grow prosperity for Americans. Same was true after World War II, just a different sort of piece in our big investment in science. But with this sort of land-grant heart and keeping a openness to socioeconomic class and an ear and hands towards really working on the problems around us with cutting-edge knowledge. And I think that's sort of more true today than it was in our other parts of our growth period. And so I think part of it for Spartans is remembering that we can be a top 100, world power, and at the same time have that big land-grant heart. And part of that means using these talents in our communities and near at hand. And I'm saying to students, I mean, it's you can interpret the events around you in varieties of ways. They are. They will be. But you can also control what's near at hand. And instead of always railing about something that you don't like in a huge public policy way, live your values every day. And we need Spartans to help Spartans, whether it's an alumni network to help students continue to have the kinds of experiences that your sons are going to have and be out in the world wherever they are in the world and feel like they're supported, not simply around a football game or a basketball game on TV, but for their lives, for their career, because it's going to constantly change. And we need people here who are having, bad days to feel supported, and someone's going to stick up for them. Not just that they have to stick up for themselves, because that's what Spartans do. And it's a good time as you go into the holiday season, which is the Thanksgiving blog as well, to say, okay, it's fundamental to who we are. It's just not something I've created out of whole cloth to say. It's not something that's just a response to an election. It's about the kind of community we want to be and living that community and recognizing that we're all different and we have different views. And because someone had a particular political view on the left or the right, pro-Trump, not pro-Trump, it doesn't really matter. They're Spartans. It doesn't matter. And they can have those views. They can express those views. I might not like those views. They might not be mine, but they're still Spartans. They have the space to express them. And more importantly, they have the space to learn and learn from one another. And that's really what we want to sort of think about. And I think if there's a season that you can put lots of overtones on, secular and religious, that would say to you, that's what you need to do. Yeah, that would be at this time of the year.
And just some closing holiday wishes or thoughts for Spartans?
Well, we wish everyone a joyous holiday season and one that lets them sort of find their inner peace.
President Simon, thank you as always for sharing your insights with us.
You're welcome. Take care.
That's Michigan State University President Luana K. Simon. You can keep up with all her activities at president.msu.edu. And I'm Russ White for MSU Today.
This is MSU Today on AM 870 WKAR.
Tune to Greening of the Great Lakes inside MSU Today on AM 870 WKAR. Here's Kirk Heinze.
Well, they have been collaborating for over a century, and they continue to partner to help address some of the most complex food, energy, and environmental issues of our time. And they have recently been exploring a new initiative in Detroit, an initiative that's focused on food systems, urban food systems. An initiative which also aligns with several other programs that they have been doing for many, many years, not only in Detroit, but other urban centers around the great state of Michigan. They are MSU Ag Bioresearch and MSU Extension. And here in studio to tell us more are Dr. Douglas Bueller, who is the director of MSU Ag Bioresearch, and Dr. Jeffrey Dwyer, director of MSU Extension. Gentlemen, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you very much.
Great to be here.
Doug, let's start with you. For our listeners who may not be familiar with the land grant history, a little bit about what MSU Ag Bioresearch does and your collaboration over the years with MSU Extension.
Well, happy to do that. Yeah, the whole what we call Ag Bioresearch really was started out in the whole concept of the need to develop a research capacity following the creation of the land-grant colleges. The land grants were really originally set up to educate the people, but then quickly we realized there was a realization that there needed to be this research basis for that. And so that's really what started this whole idea of experiment stations. And when it started, it was actually literally the first experiment stations, research farms in the system. Over the last 100 or so years, that's really expanded. And what we do now in MSU Ag Bioresearch is we are the food, agriculture, natural resource research entity of Michigan State University. Most of what we do is centered in the College of Agriculture and Natural Resources, but we also work with seven other colleges across the university, engineering, vet med, social science, natural sciences, to address our broader mission in a comprehensive way.
And Jeff, with Extension?
Yeah, so Extension was started 102 years ago to really take what Doug's talking about, the science, the experience, the expertise of the land-grant university out to everyone across the state of Michigan. In our case, we have several hundred talented people all over the state, including about 60 in Detroit and Wayne County.
Yeah, the interesting thing about both these entities is the fact that they're not only on campus, Michigan State University, and throughout the campus, but really a front door to Michigan State University throughout the state of Michigan.
Well, that's really true, and we just had our fall conference last month, and President Simon talked about that our Extension educators and others who work with us at MSU Extension are in some cases the Michigan State University that people know in some parts of the state.
Well, in my opening, I alluded to an initiative that you folks are exploring in the city of Detroit, an initiative that dovetails very nicely with a lot of other programs that have been underway for a long time in urban centers in Michigan. Tell us a little bit about what you're looking at.
So the Detroit Center for Urban Food Systems is something we're very excited about. We're working closely with the city of Detroit to find a specific location for this, but it really provides an opportunity to marry a lot of what Doug talked about in Ag Bioresearch and what we do at MSU Extension to really add to and align with a lot of the activity we already have going on in Detroit and Wayne County around urban agriculture. And we're excited about the opportunity, for example, to work and extend our Healthy Soils Initiative, something we've been doing for several years, and Ag Bioresearch in particular has been a big part of. But it's also important to recognize that the Detroit Urban Food System allows us to really build on work we've been doing with others in Detroit who care a lot about urban agriculture and who are trying to find ways to develop in this area. But it also aligns with our health and nutrition initiatives. It aligns with our personal finance and community development activities, and it also aligns with our 4-H activities in Detroit and something that we're working very hard to expand as well.
Doug, it's no secret that Detroit has faced several challenges, not only on the food front, but on a lot of fronts. I mean, give our listeners sort of a snapshot of why it's so important to look at these urban food systems in a city like Detroit.
Well, this is a really interesting situation from the research side. I mean, as Jeff said, this really works very well and dovetails very nicely with things they've done for a long, long time. This is a little bit different twist from the research side. What we're finding is that as we look at the resource base in Detroit, a lot of the places that we could say are sort of the undisturbed sites, those are where the gardens are now. Those are things we know how to do. That's, you know, setting up things. But what now, as we start looking at how do we reclaim these old industrial sites, these old neighborhoods, every one of those is different. And how do we put together a research program that develops principles that people can use to reclaim this land in a productive way and also not put people at risk of contamination and so on? Because what you worry about is you can go in and you can grow things, but there are a lot of different contaminants and things in those soils, for example. We need to make sure that we understand the dynamics of that. How do we remediate those and then rebuild those soils so they can be used in a productive way? And that's quite a challenge for us.
Jeff, we have interviewed quite a few folks on this show who are doing things in Detroit,
right.
People from the Eastern Market, Greening of Detroit. There are a lot of entities that are in this space in Detroit. Is one of the roles of this new initiative, or would one of the roles be to coordinate some of these efforts so that the horses are moving in the same direction?
Well, that's absolutely the case. So we really feel strongly that partnerships are what's important here, and that we not duplicate, but we work together, and that we find the unique pieces that we can each bring to the table. So we certainly don't anticipate that we're the ones that need to be in charge by any means, but we want to be part of the story, and we want to be part of bringing, really, we think, some expertise that we have here at Michigan State University. I think it's also important to recognize that one of the beauties of a land-grant university like Michigan State University is that we do so many things, and we can bring so many things from campus. And so, for example, the College of Osteopathic Medicine, as you know, is very involved in Detroit. The College of Human Medicine's newest campus is right there in Southfield. And we could go on and on, music and things like that. And so we really think that this is another opportunity to bring the breadth and the great things that a university like Michigan State University does and can do, and bring more of that to Detroit and Wayne County.
We're talking about urban food initiatives and more broadly urban initiatives in general with Doug Buehler, director of MSU Ag Bioresearch, and Jeff Dwyer, who's the director of MSU Extension. You mentioned health. We talk about the nexus of food, energy, and the environment. Is there anything more important to sustainability than human health?
No, I don't think so. How do we link all of these things together? And there's also other pieces to this, and this is some of the things way back years ago when Jeff and I first started talking about some of these things. The benefits of actually gardening and the physical activity and the mental aspects of producing your own food. I don't want to go into something that's not at all my expertise. I should probably kick this back over to Jeff, but there's a lot of pieces to this. There's rebuilding communities. And you go to larger scale. It's not just the food part. It's economic development. It's jobs. It's really a new way of looking at things.
I think Doug's absolutely right. And, you know, even urban gardens, we can create gardens now that mimic some of the therapeutic things that people with dementia or physical disabilities at older ages might do, for example. In Flint, we've certainly learned, for example, how one choice about a water system can have all kinds of effects that we need to be concerned about in a health context. So I think that's what we're looking forward to doing more of. We certainly have a number of talented people already in Detroit and Wayne County, and I think the Detroit Center for Urban Food Systems will give us the opportunity to bring even more and to do even more.
Well, we'll keep on top of this unfolds, but let's talk about some initiatives that have been underway for a while. There's one with Eastern Market.
That's right. So we're thrilled that we've had a longstanding presence at Eastern Market. Micah Lukes, for example, serves as a model for the type of people that we hire at MSU Extension and in this case have brought to Eastern Market. Micah has helped, as have others, help to provide counseling services to over 200 food-related businesses in the launching of products therein that have helped to create over 100 new business enterprises and over 400 new jobs. We're very excited that we have a new director. Chris Peterson did a great job in building the product center. We now have Tom Lyons that's recently joined us, and we think that there will be expanded opportunities around entrepreneurship, and the Eastern Market will continue to be at the core of that.
And Doug, are there research dimensions to what's going on at the Eastern Market?
Not a lot, but we're trying to, again, figure out how do these things fit together, because this is a very interesting and a new way of looking at supply chains and some of the other things that we do. And so as this enterprise develops, we're trying to keep on top of some of these elements and see what we can do to support their development.
You're tuned to Greening of the Great Lakes inside MSU today on AM 870 WKAR. Here's more with Kirk Heinze.
Well, we've been talking about urban food initiatives and other initiatives in the Motor City with Dr. Douglas Buehler, director of MSU Ag Bioresearch, and Dr. Jeffrey Dwyer, who's the director of MSU Extension. We just got through talking about one that is being done in conjunction with the well-known Eastern Market on the east side of the city of Detroit. There's another program, Jeff, I think you call it Michigan Art Share, which gets into the humanities, which gets into the arts. Those are things that are near and dear to my heart.
Right. Yeah, no, we're very excited that Art Share is now a part of MSU Extension. Diane Wilson leads that program and does a tremendous job. But this is really about arts at the community level, directly in neighborhoods. And, you know, there's some wonderful things going on in the Detroit region, in Brightmoor, for example, neighborhoods that are really making a statement about the humanities and about the arts and about what that can mean and integrating that with the environment and those sorts of things. And so we really think that Art Share becomes an important part of our community development activities, and we anticipate investing a great deal more there in working directly with communities across the arts broadly defined.
I hear a lot of enthusiasm in your voices about where Detroit is headed, and we don't need to recapitulate the history of Detroit, but under the Duggan administration, a lot of entrepreneurs are engaged, including some very well-known MSU alums. But in general, your feelings about Detroit and the opportunities down there, Doug?
Well, I think they're great opportunities, and if you look at the potential that Detroit has just because of the amount of open land, it really creates some opportunities that are pretty unique to a lot of other parts of the world and major cities. And the simple fact is that we know that, you know, Detroit has really made a move, and really a lot of the state of Michigan is different than it was a generation ago. And we see the food and agriculture, natural resource piece being an important part of that to, again, fill in and really create some very interesting opportunities, particularly as young people are very interested in moving back into the cities and being in walkable communities, having local foods and these things. And that fits right in what we've done for a long, long time.
And, Jeff, I know a little bit about your background and your interest and your expertise in the whole human health arena, but Detroit has got some amazing medical facilities and medical outreach, and with the work you're doing in nutrition and other areas as well, I mean, there's got to be some amazing opportunities like there have been in Flint.
Absolutely. There are fantastic opportunities, and you're absolutely right. I mean, at Wayne State, at the Detroit Medical Center, and Henry Ford and many others, there are wonderful healthcare organizations, and we're thrilled to be a part of it. You know, I just want to add to this notion of the excitement about what's going on in Detroit. Late yesterday, we had a bit of a gathering for this new fellowship program that our new dean, Ron Henrich, developed, where we identify juniors and seniors who wish to work closely with college leadership on programming and events and things like that. Anyway, the point I want to make is that there were 9 young people there yesterday. 2 of them explicitly indicated that post-graduation, they want to go work in Detroit. And I think that is important for people to know, that there are young people, that there are millennials who really see Detroit as a tremendous opportunity for what they want to do with their lives. And it's terrific that they're getting some exposure to the College of Agriculture, Ag Bio Research, MSU Extension, and will take that knowledge to the opportunities that they find in Detroit.
Well, on that optimistic note, let's move outside the city of Detroit and the urban areas and talk a little bit about a couple of emerging industries in Michigan. It is the holiday season. Let's talk. I know hops are near and dear to your heart, Doug. Chestnuts are probably near and dear to all our hearts. Yeah. But let's talk a little bit about the emergence of chestnut and hops industries in Michigan.
I'd be happy to. The chestnut story is really a very interesting one. And we don't have time, or I'm not sure that I have all the expertise to really tell the full story. And I would suggest you bring those folks in for a full segment, because they're very excited about it. And there's a lot of elements. But chestnuts were an important crop and a very common tree species in the U.S., and were pretty much decimated by a blight, chestnut blight. So a few years ago, for various reasons, a gentleman, Dr. Dennis Fulbright, who's now retired but is still very active, kind of took this on and really started to take apart the situation, why the trees were declining, why couldn't we continue to grow chestnuts, and found a group of very interested growers. And it's really a very interesting success story, because it's not just about the disease. It's about selecting the right trees. It's about managing them properly. It's about processing. I mean, it's really a very interesting, you know, supply chain from the selection of the trees all the way to marketing them. And another thing about, and this will apply with hops as well that I find interesting. I've been in Michigan for quite a few years now, but I've worked in several other states and lived in other states in my career. The nice thing about Michigan is because of the type of agriculture that we have, so diverse, that really a very large agricultural industry that's a collection of a lot of smaller commodities, people are willing and are quite excited about looking at these smaller opportunities because some of the people that are into chestnuts may also be tree fruit growers. So they understand perennials, they understand the lag time, all of these things. And so the whole chestnut story is really interesting. You know, it's growing. The growers believe if they could grow more, they could sell 20 times or more what they're producing. So there's some real opportunities there. But there's also lots of challenges. And as we know, some of our greatest challenges create our best opportunities. So anyway, if people are interested in that, just go and Google MSU chestnuts. Hopefully it'll pop up the story that we just published, and they'll see a really great story about something that we've been able to do to help Michigan.
And when we talk about chestnuts and hops and other, there's a major extension component to this. Is a paradigm example of research extension working together.
Well, you're exactly right. I mean, what Rob Sarine and others have done in hops, for example, to take Michigan from really at the bottom of the list in hops production to now the number four hops producer in the country is really a remarkable feat in a very short period of time. And certainly a number of partners played a role in that development, but without, I think, the people in ag bioresearch and extension to lead the way on that, it might have taken a longer period of time.
And as these industries continue to emerge and grow, you're going to have a workforce to work in chestnuts, to work in hops. What better workforce than pulling people from the ranks of veterans? We're doing some work with veterans, aren't we, Jeff?
We really are. You know, we owe so much, all of us, to veterans and their families. And you know, there are 660,000 veterans in the state of Michigan. And when you just look at their close families, you're really quickly acknowledging that 25 to 35, 40% are closely aligned, are a veteran or closely linked to a veteran. And you know what? When you think about the kind of people that we want not just to work with, but that we want to really build around, veterans are leaders. Veterans have tremendous experience. They know how to work hard. They know how to get things done. And we've been focused in the last few months, especially on what we can do to become more closely aligned with farmer veteran groups. We hosted the Farmer Veteran Coalition National Meeting here at Michigan State just last week. And it's an exciting opportunity. We're doing some work at our farm, ag biofarm, all the way up in Chatham in the Upper Peninsula around farmer apprentice programs and fellowships for veteran farmers. And so we're very excited about the opportunity to work ever more closely, a group that we owe so much to, but we think we have a lot to offer to as well.
Well, over 100 years of collaboration between MSU Ag Bio Research and MSU Extension. I'm sure there's another 100 years down the trail. Someday some folks will be sitting around a table very much like this talking about some other new initiatives that have emerged. But it's been a real pleasure having you both in studio. I've been talking with Doug Buehler, Director of MSU Ag Bio Research, and Dr. Jeff Dwyer, Director of MSU Extension. Gentlemen, thank you so much for being on Greening of the Great Lakes.
Thanks for the opportunity. Appreciate it.
You're tuned to Greening of the Great Lakes inside MSU today on AM 870 WKAR. Here's more with Kirk Heinze.
Our next guest, a national leader in sustainable agriculture and food systems, founded the Fair Food Network about 15 years ago. Among the network's goals is to provide healthy, fresh food to underserved communities like the community of Detroit. To learn more, let's meet Dr. Oren Hesterman, who's the president and CEO of the Ann Arbor-based Fair Food Network. Oren, pleasure to have you on the program.
Dr. Heinze, great to be with you.
Tell us a little bit about, you were the founder. Tell us about the development, the establishment of the Fair Food Network.
Certainly. Fair Food Network, we founded that based on a strong belief that vibrant local food systems can create health and economic opportunity for everybody in a community. We know that there are both great challenges and great opportunities in terms of helping to provide greater access to healthy, fresh, locally grown food, especially in underserved communities. and at the same time providing that food access also create greater economic opportunity and job creation opportunity in those communities. And that's our goal and our mission at Fair Food Network.
Oren, give our listeners a bit of a snapshot with respect to some of the problems, food-related problems in the city like Detroit.
We know that in a city like Detroit or a city like Flint, which is a place we've really been paying a lot of attention to in this past year, that the level of food insecurity and the levels of poverty are higher than averages, that's for sure. And the ability for families to have both physical and financial access to healthy food are limited in cities such as Detroit and Flint. So with those challenges, we also see that there are then opportunities to create greater access, greater affordability, and bring more food dollars into circulation in those local economies.
Well, not only do you guys talk a good game down there, but you have a program which has become a national model for getting done exactly what you just talked about. I think you call it the Double Up Food Bucks program. How does it work?
Right. Double Up Food Bucks, a simple program that enables anybody who is a recipient of SNAP, Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, used to be called food stamps, can bring their food assistance money, their bridge card, to a participating location and basically double their spending power if they spend their SNAP dollars on locally grown fruits and vegetables. So low-income families taking home more healthy food, farmers making more money because those locally grown products are being sold and the money goes right in the pocket of local farmers, and those food dollars staying in the local economy to be able to create economic activity and job creation. It's really, we call it a win-win-win. It started in Detroit back in 2009 and is now expanded to about 250 sites throughout Michigan, and we are now working with partners in 20 states outside of Michigan with this program, and actually now have, in addition to the philanthropic funding for the program that we initially started with, we now have federal funds through a provision in the Farm Bill to help support this program and its expansion.
Or let's drill down in terms of let's give a concrete example. I'm a single mom living on the east side of Detroit, and I want healthy, nutritious food for my kids. So I go to the Eastern Market on Saturday morning. What happens?
So you go to the Welcome Center at the Eastern Market with your Michigan Bridge card. You decide you're going to spend $20 of your food stamp money that day or SNAP money that day at the market. You swipe your card. You get handed $20 worth of tokens that can be spent on any eligible item, but you also get $20 of Double Up Food Bucks tokens to spend on any Michigan-grown fruits and vegetables. So you use $20 of your bridge card money, and you now have $40 worth of buying power in your pocket. And you can go and buy, with those Double Up Food Bucks, any of the bounty of Michigan-grown fruits and vegetables in that market.
We're talking about the Double Up Food Bucks program with Dr. Oren Hesterman, who's the president and CEO of the Fair Food Network. Oren, this has become a national model, and kudos to you and the Fair Food Network. But within the city of Detroit, how do you get the word out to these families that are in such need for healthy, nutritious food who may not be aware of the program?
That's a very good question, Kurt. We try everything that we can. We have at times done direct mail, so getting in touch with people right in their households through their mailboxes. We do a lot of partnerships. This whole program succeeds because of the partnerships. One organization can't do it alone. We have a great staff at Fair Food Network running this program and developing it. But, for example, we partner with MSU Extension. We partner with the Michigan Fitness Foundation, the SNAP Education organization in the state. We're now partnering with Detroit Public Schools, partnering with Wayne State University, and with Food Corps, a great organization that's placing AmeriCorps service members in some of the schools in Detroit. And a great partnership with United Way and Detroit Lions to get the word out. So we really, you know, we welcome partnerships in every way, shape, or form to try to get the word out that this Double Up Food Bucks program is available, because we want folks to use it.
I know from exploring your website, which is very informative, you've got programs in other cities like Battle Creek, but you mentioned Flint a little earlier and the work you've been doing there over the last year and a half or so. Tell us about that.
So in Flint, we knew as we started hearing about the challenges with exposure to lead in the water, especially for kids, the medical experts were telling us that the one thing that families can do to help mitigate the long-term negative impacts of lead is to make sure that the nutritional level of families and kids is high, and especially the vitamins and minerals in fresh fruits and vegetables. So we've been able to expand and enhance the Double Up Food Bucks program in Flint. It's now a year-round program in Flint rather than seasonal. It's in seven different locations, including a farmer's market in Flint and grocery stores and a mobile market. And one innovation that we were able to create in Flint that we hope to bring to Detroit next year is what we call interoperability. So somebody can bring their bridge card to the farmer's market in Flint, earn their Double Up Food Bucks there, then take their Double Up Food Bucks on an electronic card, like a debit card that we issue. They can take those credits to the grocery store and spend those Double Up credits on more fruits and vegetables at the grocery store, or the other way around. Purchase fruits and vegetables at the grocery store, earn your Double Up Food Bucks, spend those Double Up Food Bucks at the farmer's market. So with these kinds of innovations in technology and doing a real thorough job of communicating about the program and how it works in Flint, we've seen a 50% increase in program use and a doubling of the number of people that are using the program in Flint just since last year.
That's incredible. Those numbers are absolutely incredible. Oren, we've only got about 30 seconds left. Where can folks go to get more information on farmers markets that take that participate in the Double Up program?
Easiest way to get information is at doubleupfoodbucks.org, the website.
Doubleupfoodbucks.org. Well, Oren, congratulations on the success of that program and the Fair Food Network. We'll get you back on in about a year or two to find out how things are going in Detroit and maybe some other new initiatives that you'll launch in the meantime.
We would love at some point, Kirk, to talk about the Michigan Good Food Fund and all the work that's being done to really help food entrepreneurs start filling the demand for this great, healthy, locally grown food.
Okay, then you can count on that. We'll get that done in 2017.
Excellent.
I've been talking with Dr. Oren Hesterman, the president and CEO of Fair Food Network. Oren, a pleasure having you on the program.
Kirk, always a pleasure to talk with you. Thank you.
That was Dr. Kirk Heinze with a sustainability-focused Greening of the Great Lakes segment inside MSU Today here on AM 870 WKAR. To read Kirk's blog and hear more Greening of the Great Lakes content, visit mlive.com/environment. WKAR.
Hello, I'm Ken Nobis, president of the Michigan Milk Producers Association. Dairy farmers in Michigan celebrated the 100th anniversary of our cooperative this year. Since MMPA's beginning, when the founders of our cooperative first met at Michigan State University, MSU has been an important partner to MMPA. And we are very proud to be honored this fall as a key partner of Michigan State University Extension. The Key Partner Award, presented at MSU Extension's annual conference in October, is given to those who have helped support and expand MSU Extension programs. MMPA received this award for their longtime support of MSU and for the partnership this year to help families statewide. MSU identified three accomplishments when they honored MMPA. First, our partnership with MSU has educated dairy farmers about the latest technology in the industry, thus helping farm families achieve success. Second, we work together on 4-H programs for youth across the state. These programs help people from all walks of life learn more about Michigan agriculture. And third, our cooperative worked closely with MSU Extension to provide healthy food to families that were affected by the Flint water crisis. This included several milk donations to Flint families earlier this year. None of this would have been possible without a close partnership between Michigan's dairy farmers and Michigan State University. We are proud of our work together, and we are honored to be named a key partner by MSU Extension for 2016.
This is MSU Today on AM 870 WKAR.
I'm Russ White for MSU Today. Kurt Kwiatkowski is Michigan State University's executive chef. When it comes to trends in holiday eating, Chef Kurt says,
one of the biggest trends is the focus on the side dish. And instead of it just being one entree and one or two sides, now you're talking six, seven, eight different sides. And I think there's a great trend to being open to trying different things.
What are some of your ideas and or suggestions for how we can enjoy some of the traditional holiday favorites like a turkey or a ham in new and different ways?
You know, sometimes depending upon how many people there are, you don't have to cook a whole turkey and you don't have to cook a huge ham. You could just do a turkey breast. And one of the things I like to do with a smaller group of people, I take the turkey breast and kind of fillet it open, stuff it, wrap it back up, and then if you want to get crazy, think outside of the box, you can wrap it with bacon and cook it in the oven. You can leave the skin on it, but not overly difficult, and then you can have different portions. You know, I think trying different world flavors, I think that's another thing that's really coming in. Instead of your traditional, okay, I'm just going to roast a ham and I'm going to put some cloves in it and it gets pineapple, it's now we've got this bourbon Asian glaze or something along those lines, and I think you're making your food more exciting and more fun.
I'm getting hungry, Kurt, already as we talk. I'm wondering, too, do you have some ideas if people want to eat a little bit healthier at the holidays and kind of a second part of that? Or do you find that's a one time a year where people don't want to count the calories and the fat grams?
I think people say one thing and do something different. I personally try. I really try. It just doesn't always seem to happen, especially I think I do really well during the meal, and then the next thing you know, there come the desserts. And then I'm a sucker for chocolate. That's all I can say. I think if people are looking to do that, it comes in those side dishes instead of something that's just brown sugar and overly glazed with, you know, like your yams that are baked with sugar and molasses and syrup. Maybe you just oven roast those hunks of sweet potato and you can put Brussels sprouts with them. Or you can just put some Southwest seasonings on them and you make some French fries out of them. So just a little bit of a different twist.
MSU corporate chef Kurt Kwiatkowski is my guest on MSU Today. Kurt, I'm intrigued by your idea, too, of more side dishes, little bites of a lot of different things than maybe just a giant turkey or ham. But in relation to that, how about hors d'oeuvres? What do they play? What role are they playing now, or suggestions you might have?
I think hors d'oeuvres are a big thing. You know, something as simple as shrimp cocktail. And it doesn't have to be a big bite. It can just be something super small, something really simple, even like a dip with some crostini that you're going to bake off in the oven and maybe some tomato bruschetta on top of it for when everyone gets there. Just, I think sometimes, too, it's that buildup. People come over and you're there for an hour or two and you're waiting to eat and you've got these smells that are going on and you're just so excited and, you know, that savoriness and you kind of get mouth watering and your stomach saying, feed me, feed me, feed me, and you're holding off. And then when you finally do, you kind of get a little bit too much. And so if you get a couple of snacks ahead of time, kind of satiate yourself a little bit, and I think you're going to be better off in the end.
And Kurt, what about some wine or spirits suggestions that would complement all these great holiday food items?
You know, craft beers here in Michigan are huge right now. You got seasonal beers that are out. I think the Michigan wine industry plays a great part in it too. I look personally for things that have good acid to them. Michigan makes some great bone dry Rieslings. You got Left Foot Charlie, J Trees, Black Star Farms makes some great, great crisp Rieslings, Gewurztraminers. So you've got this touch of sweetness, but some pepperiness and great acid. So it plays with a lot of different foods. So, and I think a lot of people would really enjoy things like that.
And Kurt, why we want to keep everybody healthy this time of the year while they enjoy these great, delicious meals around the holidays. What about some food safety tips for people to keep in mind?
Yeah, I'd say, you know, if you're working with a raw product, try and cut all your vegetables ahead of time before you start working with that raw product and do a lot of the prep work, or do the raw product first. If it's a big, huge turkey that you're cooking for that holiday meal, go ahead and work with that turkey, rub it down, season it the way you want. Maybe it's a brine thing. Get that in the oven. Completely sanitize everything. Wash your hands. And then sanitize everything in and around whatever that touched, the knife, the cutting board, the area around where you were working. So everything's super clean. And I think you're going to be a lot safer. And please, if you're making a turkey, don't put the stuffing inside of it. Cook it separately.
And what about another one, Kurt? People like to graze after the meal, but you really shouldn't leave things like turkey and a lot of the food out for more than a couple hours. Is that right?
Yeah. And try and get things kind of wrapped up. Only let it sit out for maybe 2 hours. Try and loosely wrap it. Get it into the fridge, and you should be a lot safer off having those leftovers afterwards.
And Kurt, people love to enjoy the leftovers at the holidays too. What's your advice on how long maybe things can be refrigerated that you're going to enjoy right away, or maybe in the freezer for things you want to pull out later?
Yeah, I'd say the freezer is going to be a really good bet for you. You're going to get about 90 days shelf life in the freezer. In the refrigerator, if it's a protein, 4 days is what I say is max. And if it's just vegetables, you can go that fifth, maybe sixth day. If it's looking a little funky, when in doubt, throw it out. I can't say that enough. And when you're going to freeze something, make sure the air's out of the bag when you're putting it in the freezer. And then from that same token, making sure that things are cooled down before you completely seal them when you're putting it in the refrigerator.
Kurt, what about a couple of favorite recipe sites? We didn't get that detailed here, nor is this necessarily the place to do that. But if people want to branch out, do something different, do you have a couple of favorite sites, or can you direct people places?
You know, for me, the internet can be a good thing and a bad thing. I personally look to different cookbooks, and I've got some of my chef friends, maybe not that haven't written the cookbooks, but have recommended different books to me. I collect a lot of cookbooks. From friends of mine, I know that Epicurious, I believe, is a site that a lot of people go to. And then it's always good to read the reviews on a site, especially because it may look like it's really good and maybe it's not really tested. So just, you know, user beware on any specific thing that you go to.
That's MSU's executive chef, Kurt Kwiatkowski, and you can keep up with him on Twitter at chef_Kurt. That's K-U-R-T. And I'm Russ White for MSU Today.
Hi, I'm Jim Zook, executive director of the Michigan Corn Growers Association and the Corn Marketing Program of Michigan. Corn growers in Michigan depend on exports to boost markets for our product and ultimately keep family farmers going strong. Ag exports are directly responsible for hundreds of Michigan jobs, and corn is a big part of the success story. This fall, Michigan had a unique opportunity to encourage those strong trading relationships. We helped host Export Exchange, an event held every 2 years that brings together nearly 200 buyers and end users for corn and grain from more than 30 countries around the world. This includes all of the top U.S. international grain markets. For corn growers, it's a chance to meet and directly interact with these international customers. This year, Export Exchange was held in Detroit. Michigan's corn growers took full advantage of the opportunity. In addition to helping host the event, we provided opportunities for our international guests to learn more about Michigan corn. We hosted 6 trade teams throughout the state, giving buyers a chance to meet family farmers in Michigan and see their operations firsthand. And also visit our ethanol plants to learn more about DDGS as animal feed. As we look ahead to 2017, exports remain critical for Michigan corn. We're doing all we can to keep those relationships strong as we head into next year.
Thank you for listening to MSU Today on AM 870 WKAR. To hear this show again, click on the radio tab at WKAR.org and scroll to MSU Today every Sunday afternoon at 4 o'clock on AM 870 WKAR.